in the book of Acts, a shift from Paul to Peter. And you have this account of the gospel now going to the Gentiles. It's a key moment in the life of the infant church. They faced a big question, and the big question was this: how can Jewish Christians and Gentile believers live together, belong together? It's such a big issue that it's recorded for us here three times. And Peter is given the vision again and again. And so Peter, a Jew, is now called to go to a Gentile, but not only any Gentile, but a Roman centurion, who of course was an occupied force. And this Roman centurion is described as a man who feared God, who gave alms continually, and prayed. And God's going to show Peter that the great commission that Jesus spoke at the end of Matthew's gospel, and the great commission emphasized again in Acts 1:8, is now going to spread beyond Jerusalem and Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so today the gospel, the good news of Christ coming, living, dying, rising again and coming again, that good news is for all nations. We heard different languages spoken here this morning. This is a gospel that is suitable for every person in whom God has breathed the breath of life and in whom God has set eternity in our hearts. Now, before we get to the Cornelius issue, there's a miraculous power here that we see in chapter 9. Just briefly, we come to two stories where God uses Peter mightily to heal a man who's been paralyzed for 8 years or more, and the second one, extraordinarily, to raise a woman who was much loved, a great Christian, who did much good for her church and her family and many in the community. God is going to use Peter. Peter, by the way, is no faith healer. He's not like those who go around making grandiose claims, possessing powers, as Simon the magician did. No, here's Peter coming to this man, unable to fulfill life as he would like to. He's crippled. He's unable to move around. He's paralyzed. And I think that's a picture of us spiritually as well, that we're paralyzed spiritually until the Spirit of God works in our lives. Now notice what Peter says. He's not claiming to be anything great. Peter says, Jesus Christ heals you. You see that? Peter doesn't claim any glory for himself. We're told here that Jesus Christ heals you. That's what Peter was told in verse 34. That's what Aeneas needed to know. And so he goes on, verse 34. He says to this man who's crippled, arise, make your bed, and immediately he arose. That's a miraculous power that comes from God. And we're told in verse 35, all the residents saw him and they turned to the Lord. That was the purpose of the miracle. It was to show God's power. One old writer and commentator says, the first condition of work for the Lord is to hide yourself behind your message. You are not the message. I am not the message. Hide yourself behind your message, behind your master, and make it very plain that it is his power that you, and that you are but a tool in the workman's hand. The second miracle is even more dramatic, isn't it? Peter's now notice in Gentile territory where in Joppa, where Jonah, remember Jonah, the reluctant prophet, fled from God's command? Well, that's where he's at. Here's the incident of a much loved Christian, Dorcas. She's well known in her community for doing good. suddenly and unexpectedly, her service is brought to an end. She falls sick. The power of the enemy comes and she's laid low and she eventually dies. And this miracle is similar to what you see in Jesus when he raised Jairus' daughter. Mark 5:35 following. Here's a miracle. Here's a woman restored from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has power to raise us from the dead, and one day he will. But suddenly and unexpectedly, her service is brought to an end. Whose ministry of love and selflessness and goodness and mercy to many. But note what happened when she died. They didn't send for the funeral directors. They sent for Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus. An apostle who was imperfect. An apostle, as we just heard, who had denied the Lord. And in verse 38 and 9, we read that Peter knelt down and prayed. He was taken upstairs. He opened the windows. Then he sent everybody out of the room. Verse 40, and he prayed with her. And miraculously, she's raised from the dead. He took her hand and helped her to her feet. And he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. What was the result of that? This became known all over Joppa. And many people believed in the Lord. See, God has his way. God is absolutely sovereign. God can do things that we can never get our heads around. How would he send his son to be born of a virgin? Oh, you say that's not possible. But that's supernatural. God is not like us. God is not limited. God does not grow weary. God does not grow tired. And this again points us to our own natural state, apart from knowing Christ, is that we're dead in sin. We're dead in sin. And we can't do anything. And so it's because Jesus has risen and the Spirit of Christ is among his people that others are raised to life from the death of sin and the hopelessness of sin and brought into a new relationship with Christ. See, in the case of Dorcas, human incapacity and death were no hindrance to the power and might of God. We need to realize that he is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He will do what he needs to do to honor and glorify his name and to bring good to his people. He alone can impart strength to paralyzed legs. He alone has the power to raise the dead. And notice in verse 42, Dorcas resumes her good ministry. So we learn from that little segment that God's power in saving lost people should encourage us to share the good news of the gospel with lost people. For you and I were once lost, if we're a Christian. We were helpless and hopeless. We weren't very nice people. We were sinful. We were unclean. We did wrong things. So you see this miraculous power of God. And then you have what I called here in the second place, man's prejudice and God's grace. Do you see here how God is preparing these two men? Peter, the proud Jew, and Cornelius, the Roman centurion, the occupied forces in the land. And he's preparing them both. In Cornelius' case, God sent an angel to Cornelius. He's described as being a devout man, God-fearing, generous, prayed regularly, but not yet saved. And so God is preparing Cornelius in these opening verses of chapter 10. And he gives instructions to Cornelius on how he can contact Peter, send for Peter, so that Peter can come and explain the gospel to him. God picks a Gentile who represents something that every loyal Jew hated. And it takes Peter out of his comfort zone. And then in the section, as we go on in chapter 9 and chapter 10, verse 9, Peter is being prepared. He's gone for an afternoon nap. And he's up on the roof and he becomes hungry. Verse 10, he wanted some to eat, and while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet let down, and to its four corners it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds of the air and so on. And then he hears a voice, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." So he gave it to prepare Peter. He gives him this vision. But for Peter, it was a bit too much. "By no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." And the Lord repeated that vision to Peter. Some of us are slow learners. We're all prone to be a bit prejudiced, aren't we? We're all prone to condemn others who are different from us. We're all prone to judge others according to their outward characteristics even, rather than accept them as people made in the image of God, as you and I have been made in the image of God, whatever their color, whatever their culture. They're human beings on an equal par with us. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. That's the wonderful thing about a multicultural congregation. Rather than this breaking them into segments and so on, we're one in Christ. That's what the gospel does. It gets rid of the barrier. It brings down the walls. Doesn't build them up. Doesn't segregate people. It brings us together. And that's what we see here. So we're prone to be prejudiced. And we forget that we've been created in the image of God, as all men are, and all men and women. And we're forgetful that God has set eternity, Ecclesiastes 3, in every heart. That's the reason why we get restless. It's the reason why we're unhappy with life. Because we've forgotten that God, who made us with a God-shaped vacuum in our lives and made us in such a way to live for Him, that we've chosen to go our own way and we remain restless. It creates a longing, you see. God made us to create a longing in us for purpose, for meaning, for life. To be lived to the full. That's how He made us. But sin has entered the world. And we've all got built-in prejudices that God must break down if we're going to be in any way effective in His service. God is going to strip Peter. He's going to strip Peter of his Jewish prejudice against the Gentiles by sending him to Cornelius' house. And so what you have then from chapter 9 on down, chapter 10 verse 9 onwards here, is the reminder again that salvation is for all kinds of people. And when God confronts our prejudice, we must yield. And you see what It tells us in verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Verse 17, while Peter is wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon was there. And Peter's still thinking about the vision, verse 19. The Spirit said to him, the Holy Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up, go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. See, God does things we don't expect. We should have an expectation that God speaks through his word to us. God puts things in our minds in order to change our wrong thinking. And as soon as he was clear about the fact that God had done away with the ceremonial laws, the defilement of eating unclean food, Peter will discover that the gospel is indeed for all nations. Verse 24, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along, and the following day he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And what's he going to do? He's going to have a Christianity explored course. He's going to have Christianity explained. He's going to have two ways. He's going to hear the way of salvation. He's been a prayerful man. He's been worshipping God, but his heart's not yet been opened. His mind has not been yet illuminated. That God is going to bring from all kinds of people, from all kinds of nations,